Good day and welcome. I'm Paul Levoy, Editor-in-Chief of Ascend Magazine.
And I'm Sarah Riven, Government Affairs Director at Ventia.
And this is Week in Brief, your weekly roundup of the biggest news in licensure, regulation, and digital government. Today is October 13th, and these are the week's top headlines.
Today's stories include takeaways from NASIO's 2023 annual conference on the future of government technology, psychologist calls for Massachusetts to join an interstate compact, a push for regulation from Prince Edward Island's building industry, and more.
State IT leaders convened to discuss strategy and relationships at the NASIO 2023 annual conference on the future of government technology.
So strategy and relationships is pretty broad. What were some of the specific topics that they talked about?
The conference covered various topics, including more strategic planning, collaboration with community colleges to address IT job shortages, and the evolving role of artificial intelligence broadly.
Can you tell us more about what the speakers said in particular on those topics?
Sure thing. I'll highlight a few takeaways from some of the CIOs in attendance. Michigan CIO Laura Clark reiterated that CIOs are becoming catalysts for government transformation, bridging IT, state agencies, legislative and executive branches, and private and public sectors. Greg Hoffman, who is deputy CIO in North Dakota, said state IT leaders are increasingly focusing on building the same relationships that Laura Clark was talking about, as well as working closely with agencies to understand their operations, their needs, and their challenges. Nebraska CIO Ed Toner said CIOs generally are looking for leadership from GovTech vendors, especially in the realm of artificial intelligence. And Sanjay Gupta, who is CIO of Illinois, he highlighted the talent gap and discussed plans to create an IT training program in collaboration with community colleges to provide tech training for participants seeking jobs at the state level.
So you mentioned artificial intelligence. Did they discuss ethical considerations or anything else specific on the topic?
Well, Vermont Artificial Intelligence Director Josiah Raich underscored the importance of prioritizing ethics before policies when it comes to generative AI, highlighting the need for a code of ethics before exploring acceptable use cases in digital services. I'll add that 17 states have established task forces or advisory councils to study generative AI's potential impact on state government workforces, as well as their economies and digital services. It's seen as a tool to relieve employees of monotonous tasks. Raich also added that the goal of generative AI is to alleviate government employees from those monotonous tasks like data entry, report writing, and case management by taking over those more routine aspects of their jobs.
A code of ethics sounds interesting. Did they get into the specifics about what that would include?
Well, he said that the code of ethics that he'd propose should include not allowing AI to make decisions that impact humans, as well as maintaining public trust and striving to balance productivity with employee well-being.
Last week, psychologists in Massachusetts called for the Commonwealth to join an interstate compact to expand access to telehealth services across state lines. Psychologists spoke at a meeting of the Joint Committee on State Administration and Regulatory Oversight on the topic.
Can you tell us more about this compact?
Well, 40 states are already a part of it, and Massachusetts is the only New England state that has yet to join. So it's a pretty broad reach involving psychologists and their ability to provide care no matter where they reside.
So what did psychologists that spoke have to say about it?
In their comments, psychologists said joining the compact would enable them to ensure continuity of care during life transitions, such as when patients move out of state or attend out-of-state colleges. Something mentioned several times at the meeting was the idea that it is unethical for psychologists to abandon their patients during times of need. Their clients might never find a new therapist.
Surely there was some opposition voiced at the meeting?
Well, Christine Runyon, a clinical psychologist and the founder of a company focused on providing telehealth services, spoke to potential opposition. She said some concerns might be raised about the compact increasing competition or decreasing market share. And she also acknowledged safety concerns over offering services across state boundaries. But in spite of those potential concerns, she said, quote, there is massive evidence of unmet need.
So what's next for Massachusetts?
Representative Ruth Balzer and Senator Cindy Cream have both introduced legislation to join the compact. So House Bill 2989 and Senate Bill 1980 will be eligible for consideration by the legislature in the Commonwealth.
Prince Edward Island's building industry is continuing its push to have contractor licensing to rein in scams and unfinished work.
What's behind the building industry calling for these changes? Have there been a lot of issues?
The Construction Association of PEI wants government action in order to enhance accountability amid a prolonged labor shortage and increasing issues with contractor scams and unfinished work. The association has been making this request for nearly 3 years, but there's been no progress. According to the association's general manager, the situation has worsened, with an increased number of complaints about both legitimate and illegitimate contractors causing problems related to the quality of their work and financial transactions as well. The Construction Association of PEI wants government action in order to enhance accountability amid a prolonged labor shortage and increasing issues with contractor scams and unfinished work.
Are there specific incidents that highlight the challenges that you've talked about?
Yes, there have been many lately. Earlier this year, a PEI-based contractor was sentenced to 20 months in jail for theft and fraud. And there's another case involving a Stratford man who was charged just last month over allegations of fraudulently taking money for construction work.
Well, as consumers, I'm sure there's a lot of concern about some of these risks. Can you tell us about the warning signs for homeowners if there are potentially problematic contractors?
Yeah, definitely. Some of the key warning signs include contract